Unlock big savings while adding style and security to your home with Schlage door locks from Menards. High-quality Schlage Wi-Fi compatible entry locks allow you to lock and unlock your home from anywhere with your phone. Get peace of mind and save big money on all door locks at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Before we start this episode, giving everyone a little PSA, which is a public safety announcement. But we're talking about a pretty heavy topic today, and I know there's a lot of little ears that listen to our podcast. So, parents, be responsible. Let's not let our little kids listen to something that might scar them.
Maybe listen to the whole show first and then decide.
Yes, you can decide all you want, but we just want to let you know. Cool. Welcome to Outsiders Podcast. I am your host, Brandon Woodall, and this is the first time I said it. And to my left.
Bryce Armstrong, to my front.
The buffalo.
No, I'd say front.
Just to avoid.
I am the China. Buffalo.
China.
I am the buffalo.
I am the buffalo, Andrew McKinley. To my left.
I kind of like that.
Just regular Brett Weldy, I guess.
Nah, you're not the regular.
Brett with the lower voice today, Weldy.
Everyone's got the lower
voice. And to my left.
Okay, I was like, are you going to... Yeah.
Jim Cole.
Hello, Jim Cole.
And we are back. And we're going to try to really front load the funny today. Because our...
Front load the
because
funny.
Our topic
is
just...
It's a little bit heavy.
Just...
Only if you make it. We don't have to...
You got the one that did the notes.
Brandon's been working on this for a while.
And it's hard.
He sent it to us.
Difficult. Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
Did you read it? I actually read the notes this time.
It's very difficult.
It's good for you.
It was weird.
So, best way to get that off your mind is to think about baseball. So,
baseball.
So we're gonna do some sports trivia.
Oh, I love it. This is right on brand for us.
Like good sports trivia. Like, are we gonna know these answers?
I'll tell you, this is sports trivia. I would know most of the answers to. So I don't know what that means because I don't.
It's like a week after the Super Bowl.
Run batter in, right?
No, it's none of that.
Batter in, yeah.
Whatever. See,
run batter in.
Run, batter in. Run, batter, run.
Anybody, my knowledge of baseball, not very big.
Anyone on third base is thinking that in their head right before the next person hits.
I hope this guy gets a run, batter in. Run, batter in.
I have to run in.
I'm just saying, this is like a week after the Super Bowl.
Yes. Soup to Bowl.
Sports.
I love that game.
I sports so hard.
It's the only football game I liked.
Really? It was actually a good game. I was screaming the whole time.
Awesome.
Dude.
Depends if you're a Chiefs fan or not.
Well, I'm not, so.
Well, there it is.
We know who is.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh.
There's so always sorry, one.
That's tough.
Jim's actually like the Chiefs bandwagon he jumped on because he's a Taylor Swift fan.
That's it.
Yeah. You look Chiefs at him and be like, yep,
he seems like a
Chiefs too.
Yeah, look at him.
He seems like a Taylor Swift guy.
Oh, man.
Maybe.
Don't defame
like,
my
even
friend
even less
like that.
Than you look like a Taylor Swift fan.
All Jim. Goth and dark.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Anyway, go
this
on.
Is sports trivia. All right. If you like sports, you might actually hate these. Let's put it up. All right. Which city was the first modern Olympic Games held in?
Rome.
No, it's Athens.
That's right.
Close.
Bro, listen.
Same idea.
If Athens, you want Georgia. Real answers out of me,
what I think is funny is I look in Bryce's face. I'm like, he said Rome, but he meant the Vatican.
What? No, what didn't? What does that even mean?
It's soccer. How many players are on the field for each team?
I felt like I heard this the other day.
You did. 11.
Nice.
Where did we hear that?
I was Googling questions the other day, and I think I came up with some of these. Oh. So let's see. Let's find out.
Hold on. You said this was a baseball?
Sports. No, I said sports.
Sports.
I was joking that, like, baseball. I was joking that, like, so the topic of our discussion is lust. And I said, how do you get your mind off it? Think about baseball. And so we're doing sports trivia.
I got it. All right.
It's just a joke, Bryce.
I missed the joke. I'm sorry.
All right. Which boxer could float like a butterfly or sting like a bee?
Muhammad Ali.
Also Cassius Clay.
Yeah. Bruce Lee.
Two finger push up.
What tennis score always follows deuce?
Oh, we talked about this. We feel like I've heard this.
Deuce.
Have you been on this website?
I don't know.
The answer is advantage.
Yes, it is.
Oh, where did we hear?
Brett.
I know where we heard this.
It was a youth group.
Yeah.
Oh, some of them. Found the same,
some of them.
Maybe we'll find
the
out.
Same trivia page.
We didn't go, go that far, though.
Man.
So far, I've known these, though.
In American football, how many points is a touchdown worth?
Six.
I had somebody that was far too old say to me that the Super Bowl was the first time he learned what a pick six was.
No.
You work with him, so it's unfortunate for you.
Oh, poor guy. Yeah.
You don't work with him. I mean, we work at the same place, but.
Was he overnight?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I feel like it was Raul.
That explains.
No, it was not Raul.
What?
That shout out Raul, though.
Which Open Tennis Championship is played on a clay court?
Oh.
No idea.
Instead of turf.
Wimbledon. I don't know. It's the only one I know. Oh. U.S. Australia.
Oh, close. No.
It's got to be like Europe.
Yeah, it's a French Open.
Some fancy, right. Some fancy
why
feast.
Why do you know these?
I used to like sports in another life.
Tennis?
Tennis isn't a sport.
My dad played collegiate tennis.
I don't know
so
why.
So did my mom.
I think this might be a typo, but which video game company created the character Princess Zelda? I think that's
is
a typo.
The answer no one?
I think that's an accident. It's not supposed to be in this list.
Sony.
But you know what? Let's
Nintendo.
Answer it. It's Nintendo,
yeah.
Sega Genesis.
A typo?
Atari.
An entire sentence. A typo.
Yes. Oops.
Oops.
That's a oopsie.
I guess that's a sport.
I guess now esports are a thing.
Yeah.
Esports are a thing.
You know what game is not played professionally? Zelda. I'm pretty sure that's
no,
not.
No, that's a one-player game?
That's a sit-down because you...
Do they all play the same game for esports?
Well...
Like the whatever...
Oh, yeah, at the same time. Like, is it like one... Like, mm-hmm. Is there one game a year?
It's like a bunch of people playing League of Legends or a bunch of people playing...
Mortal Kombat.
Fortnite. They're not playing Mortal Kombat.
There are tournaments for fighting. There are
Halo.
Fighting
no.
tournaments. Yeah.
Hey, Halo.
Yeah, yeah. They're
I
like,
wish.
They're like Red Robin knockout rounds and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially after they did MK1 again.
Mm. I said Red Robin. I meant Round Robin.
I only stumbled.
Not why I looked at you funny.
I wonder why I was just so delicious sounding.
Yes. Yum.
Yum.
At which ancient Greek site is the Olympic torch lit?
Oh.
Rome.
That actually might
be. I don't know.
Site, that's so would Roman. It be the Colosseum?
This one, I feel like the question might not have been vetted very well.
Oh.
The answer is Olympia.
That's not even a real place.
Which I don't even know of the place at all.
I think that's Oregon.
The Olympics are Mormon.
So do you have any good questions?
Whoops.
In tennis, what number is represented by the term love?
One.
No, zero.
That's right.
That's a joke about tennis. What does tennis teach you about life? Love means nothing.
Oh.
It's a terrible
well,
tennis
because
joke.
Tennis is a useless sport.
It's true.
You can just play.
We're just like dogging on tennis.
We don't like these.
I hope my
people
dad doesn't listen to this. He'll be so
this question about Scrabble. So I think whoever put this list together is
doesn't understand.
They
sports.
Don't understand what sports are. Which Scrabble tiles are worth 10 points?
Z and Q.
That's right. Hey, you finally got one, boys. You finally got
your
sports knowledge.
Your sports knowledge is so solid.
You're a sports trivia nerd.
I definitely shouldn't. No, nah, it's my dad's fault.
Which Olympic sport is played with brooms and stones?
Quidditch.
He's almost right.
What's the game that you play on ice?
Curling.
Oh, curling.
It is curling. Curling, yes.
There's a scandal about that.
Whoa.
I can only imagine.
I can only imagine.
That's exactly where my mind went to. What I would do.
Bryce used to cry.
What it would be time. Like.
Used to.
That's because we played it in youth group and night my grandma died.
Yes, I know. Yes.
Used to.
They've remade that song so much.
They just remade it, and I actually don't hate it.
What you know, what you don't know, folks, is that we've just edited out Bryce going.
We should start saying that. We should start saying things that got phantomly edited out. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Brandon just went on a tirade, and we'll never let it know.
You'll never hear
it. You'll never know what it was about.
If we let this out, he might be arrested.
But on our Patreon, no.
All right, please, please.
What golf term, what is the golf term for one under par?
Birdie.
Birdie. You know that from Wii Golf, don't you?
I do know that from Wii Golf. Yes, that is where I learned that.
Why yes,
is
me it, too.
Can someone explain to me the expression that was subpar is a bad thing, when in golf, subpar is a good thing? I've never understood that phrase in business. Huh.
I think that a long time ago, par was used more frequently than just for golf.
Oh, see, there you go.
That's my guess.
That's a good guess.
Par is like average.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Below average.
Below average.
Right.
Imagine you'll find that out with Captain America.
We'll find out if I even go.
Subpar.
I didn't know it was coming out until my sister told me.
Which ideally is his wife?
Ideally. Okay. I think so.
Making sure I'm tracking.
Usually. Last
time, that makes
sense. Well, I'm just trying to track with
it. Last least, time I checked.
At least 95% of the time.
The other 5%, we're not sure.
Just disappears.
What is the tennis term for a serve that the opponent can't hit?
Ace.
That's right.
Yes.
Another Wii Sports special.
It's because they jump up and they go, woo!
Ace! Ace!
The crowd in the back goes, yay! How many rings are on the Olympic flag?
Too many.
Five?
No, it's seven.
Brandon's got it.
Is it five?
Yeah. I said too many.
I said five.
Oh, you said five?
Yes.
I just said too many. I don't think we should only have one.
Yep. I might be tired.
Three and two.
Yeah, you're right. I was thinking three and four.
Here's a question about Monopoly.
That tracks.
Let's go. I got this.
I like this.
I love
what, Monopoly. What color are the properties Kentucky, Indiana, and Illinois?
Red. Red.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well.
He just wanted to beat you to it because you were like excited.
Red.
I only have the Batman Monopoly, so.
I hate to admit this. I have 12 different versions of Monopoly.
Really?
I do. I love Monopoly.
You have Sioux City
so
Monopoly?
If
Bryce,
that is Sioux-opoly. That is not the same thing.
Oh, it's close.
If not, Bryce not ever made by gets Hasbro. A Monopoly board out, you're like, oh, he's in the mood to lose friends. All right.
I'm really good at Monopoly.
Oh, interesting.
And really I'm bad as a
humble
person.
Brain.
And really mean during it. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
We'll start calling you Donald Trump.
I love Monopoly.
What?
I love Monopoly.
Me too. Oh, Jim.
Have you played with Jesse?
Yeah, I have played with Jesse.
And you're still friends?
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, Jesse and I...
Not for that week.
Jesse and I teamed up.
Oh.
That's worse.
Dude, he was bad. His wife was playing, and I think his wife's sister was playing.
Jeez.
Oh, it wasn't pretty.
No.
It got ugly.
It's a bloodbath, as Donald Trump would say.
As a family, we have gruesome Monopoly games.
Yeah. Oh. That sounds like so much fun.
I enjoy the fact that, like, we would play, Bryson and Brittany and I would play on the Xbox, and Bryce would get frustrated because you can't do under the table stuff.
You can't do, which is the whole point of Monopoly.
That's true. That is true.
Under the table?
Oh, dude, yeah. You just, like while someone else is going, you're making deals over here. Oh, it's the best part.
I make
part
deals
of
right out in front of you.
Oh, oh wow.
I mean, I do too, but
this
like
is serious.
No, I'm serious. I don't have to hide what I'm doing.
I do sometimes. Oh, I definitely do.
Shady.
This is really serious.
Yeah, it is serious.
All right.
I usually just, if I'm getting beat by usually my kids, I just give up.
What?
Mike.
I usually knock the table and I leave.
Usually the first time we
I don't know what happened.
The first time we played it, Elijah smoked all of us. And I just looked, I'm like, why am I even doing this? Why am I even playing?
How old is he? Six?
Yeah. He's like, come on, bring it over. I'm like, okay.
You find out he's been shaving dice.
Knowing him, he'll figure out how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, Gideon would figure that out.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He'd be like, I win. I'm like, okay.
All right, we got one question left, and it's super easy.
Oh, good.
What sport do players compete for the Stanley Cup?
Ooh.
Hockey.
It's Brandon's favorite.
It's my sport.
Left
it's
a good
for,
sport.
Left it for Brandon.
NHL.
That's all I got.
This one's a weird one to transition to. Hey, we're going to talk about lust.
Well, there you go. Just, now you know.
It's just one of them.
This
it's
one.
Got to do
one
it. Lust. It's knocking out.
It's not plural lust. It's one lust.
Singular.
Lust.
So yes, we are in our series, The Seven Deadly Sins, and we have come to lust. So from what we talked about on our full description of the seven deadly sins, lust is an intense, unrestrained desire, often for sexual pleasure. The Bible verse would be 1 Corinthians 6:18. Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one. And we hit on a couple of topics that on the individual level that it distorts our intimacy and leads to addictions or broken relationships. Communally, it degrades respect for others and contributes to harmful cultural norms, which are, at least the last 10 years, has been, our culture has been, like, very highly sexualized when it comes to anything.
Longer than that.
Thanks, yes. Internet.
It's been a long time. But the last 10 years in particular, because of social media and all that, I mean, it's just out in front. Like, you just see it.
Yeah. I mean, my earliest memory of something horrible, horrible happening is the Super Bowl where it was Justin Timberlake and
That's
Janet Jackson.
That's like my first, like, I was so young, but like it's so ingrained in me.
I was in college.
Oh, gosh. So I wasn't that young, I guess.
I always heard about it, but
I think I had grandkids.
Oh. Wait.
Roped it.
Wow. Yes. And then
I gotta look up when that was.
And then nationally and globally, it fuels industries like pornography and human trafficking. Matthew 5:27-30. Andrew, would you read that?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
You have heard the commandment that says, "You must not commit adultery." But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even your stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell.
So the simple explanation of this is Jesus is speaking to his followers. He's explaining that looking at someone with lustful thoughts is as serious as committing adultery. And he emphasizes the importance of controlling our thoughts and actions to avoid sin. The key takeaway is that we should be mindful of our thoughts and behaviors, striving to maintain purity in both our hearts and actions to avoid falling into sin. Lust, unchecked sexual desire, has a way of taking root in our hearts and our minds, growing into something far more destructive than we ever imagined it would be. It rewires our thought patterns, it distorts our relationships, and it blinds us to the inherent worth of others. Instead of seeing people as individuals made in the image of God, we start to see them as objects for our own gratification. Mm. And I think while studying this topic in particular, the way that our culture is moving is that it's going to get to the point where, like, we won't even have to interact with anybody to get that desire fulfilled.
I feel like that's already...
It'll just be more, like... So they have this, I don't even want to talk about it, but it's just disturbing. Like, there's just a lot more going on behind the scenes that kind of blew my mind. And
yeah,
it's like, it legit, like, you with a, like, a robot kind of thing.
There was moving. There was one at CNET.
That's the exact article I saw. And I was like,
I watched a video of a guy interacting, just talking and, like, interacting with the robot because it was on display at the convention, and it's weird as crap. It is so uncomfortable to watch the entire interaction.
Yeah.
And the way they're marketing it is you're going to see them in malls, and they're going to be there to help serve you. And I'm like, that is not why you're inventing this. Stop lying to people.
It's like Futurama. At this point,
it's true, dude. It was so uncomfortable.
I just see it's the devaluing of human life and human interaction, right? Mm-hmm. And we've seen that across the spectrum.
I would say it's even devaluing God and His covenant of marriage.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's
100%.
That's what all this is about. It's taking something that is a good thing.
Yes. I'm glad you got into that.
Having desire for the opposite gender is a good thing. It's a creation thing, but the fall distorts it, and then our own passions ignite in unhealthy ways. And what's happening is, instead of having a culture that's teaching people to be chaste and to do things that actually build societies, we're just saying, let's just let all of it run rampant. And, you know, I think there's that text, I forget where it is, but their God is their bellies. It's this idea that they're pagans, or we're pagans. We just want to be fulfilled in every desire that we could ever have. If it's food, if it's this, it doesn't matter. I don't want to quench any of my hungers or any of my desires. I just want it all, and I want it now. And that's, it's very clear that like as a culture, we're just moving that way. We're saying, hey, don't wait to get married. Don't start a family. Don't do this right. Do this the easy way, the way that you actually really want it. And that's the lie that sin tells us. And look at the other stats. I mean, you know, loneliness, depression. I mean, this all boils down to the same thing. We're not built to be alone. We're not built to, our best friend can't be a robot.
No, yeah,
it's just not gonna work.
Yeah,
no. It probably started
in like the 70s,
with,
at least
with the robot thing. They made this emotional support robot, and it's become children's best friend. I can't remember. I'm gonna look it up. What the name is?
Let's say. I think when I think about at least that side of. Of lust and or being or self gratification, it's just there's no work done to it. It just does what you want it to do. So, and it takes work to be in a relationship with somebody, and to grow trust with someone, and to fall in love with someone. Right? It's not just instant. Right? We're learning how to like work with one another here and become like if you're a male and female, you work to become a pair. If that's the goal, right?
Moxie is what it's called, and Moxie fortunately just got shut down.
Thank God.
And they lost all their funding, but they're trying to gain funding back. But it's like taking the dependency off of running to your parent or the parent teaching them to look to God for an answer, but instead look at this robot. And have them emotionally support you because, well, one, I'm too busy, and that's going to teach them so many weird other things.
Yeah.
And then also you're not teaching them that God is the answer to where you should be running.
Yeah.
Like there's so many weird things that they're doing with robots for kids that's going to transfer into adult things.
Yeah.
And then the sex robot, this is what it is, is going to just be the easiest step for them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it started with screens. It started with magazines, and it moved to screens. Now you have a screen on your phone. Like, you have infinity in your pocket, you know, and it's easy to sneak away. I ran into my 7th grade reading teacher today at the gym, and he was telling me how, he's like, it just doesn't seem like this generation, like, wants anything to do with the outside world. They're just so glued to what's going on inside of, like, social media. And, I mean, pornography percentages have gone through the roof, not just for boys, but also for girls. Like it's both ways.
It's almost 50%.
Yeah, it's about even split. I think a statistic showed that young men are exposed to pornography at the age of 8.
Hulk.
And so by the time they even get to 18, they've had a decade's worth of an addiction, which is... makes me more cautious of what my kids see and how long they're on screens, because it's just easy to, it just sneaks in, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My two older kids both have phones, and I lock them down so hardcore, and they ask me all the time, hey, can I get on Google or can I get on Chrome? Can I get on Safari? Can I have Google? Can I have this? And I tell them every time no, and they get upset and frustrated because they want us to look something up. And they're like, why can't we have it? And I'm like, the only answer I can give them without going into deep detail, and eventually I can, but like right now I can't. But my answer every time is, my job is to protect your heart and your mind. And I'm not going to allow things to just be on your phone just so that you can have that just because you want it. I have to protect you. And your phone is so easy to just go anywhere in the world. I can't allow something like that. Screens are way too dangerous.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking, whenever we talk about a hard topic, I think the best thing to do would be to pick apart some scripture. And I think that's what people need and want. And I think what you chose for Matthew 5, I think is super helpful because it tells you the severity of the issue, right? Yeah. And so the first thing is, you know the commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. And I would say even that is probably no longer a command anymore in our society. Like stepping out on your spouse is in and of itself, you know, a quote unquote mistake at best.
Yeah.
But then, you know, it goes on to say like, but actually if you look on a woman with that intent in your heart, you've already committed it. And then it goes on to say, do whatever it takes, to cut it out. Yeah. And again, I think the hardest thing about this topic is that it's hard. So this is a thought that I've been forming for a long time, and I don't think I have it all dialed in, but at least a starting point would be almost every other sin that we talk about has a put off and put on component to it.
Yeah.
So I think of like in Ephesians 4 and 5, where it talks about if you steal, you know, if someone steals, instead, put that off and put on working diligently so you'd have something to share with others, right? So there's this put off the old man, put on the new man. The problem with lust is there's nothing, like, what do you put off and put on? Because the desire to procreate, the desire to, that's part of creation. It's part of what it means to be fruitful and multiply. It's part of what it means to take dominion over the earth. It's a creation ordinance. It's a constant. And so all you get would be 1 Corinthians 6, flee sexual immorality.
Run right? Away.
Or gouge out your eye or cut out for your hand. Like, there's no put off and put on. It's just do whatever you have to do to fight these things and not put yourself in a position to fail. So it's a unique sin in that we don't have a put off and put on like others, because at the root of it, it's a good thing. It's just distorted by the fall and by sin. And so I think that's why I think it's good to be reminded we have to, as 2 Corinthians 10 says, take every thought captive.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's what we're talking about. Take every thought, take every moment, take every second. If I was thinking quicker on my feet, I would remember that Spurgeon quote about being idle and being tempted and being, you know, the man who is idle is tempted, and the tempter is tempted by the man who is idle. I mean, it's this rotating deal of like, don't, you know, fill your time with profitable things.
Can I ask you guys your thoughts on what this actually looks like, though? So, you know, verse 29, if your good eye causes you to lust, gouge it out. I mean, we're not gouging our eyes out. Right. We're not actually cutting our hands off.
Right.
So what does that look like?
I think when I think of that, I mean, obviously I don't think of it as a literal thing, but
right.
Like, say if you do have a pornography issue. I mean, get rid of your smartphone. I mean, in our day and age, like, they have dumb phones still that work. Like, we need to be willing to put boundaries in front of ourselves, even if they're uncomfortable or they're not normal anymore. Like, if we should be killing our sin, and sometimes it takes work. So if you have a problem with looking at things on your device, put a wall in front of it.
Yeah.
And have people like, and it's embarrassing to come to a friend or a mentor and be like, "Hey, I'm struggling with looking at this." Like, it can be kind of shameful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially if you have a significant other as well. Like I don't want this, but it just keeps coming back. And because it is a carnal nature, in a sense, Like, it's a natural tendency, like you said earlier, Brett, like, to want that. But it's obviously the devil knew where to get people, right?
Yeah.
Because I think of, like, when Jesus was talking in this sense, in his time in the Roman Empire, I mean, it was about the same as what we got now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there's nothing
it's
new
under
the sun.
Yeah. No. So it's just out in the open.
Like, I mean, prostitutes still existed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, say it's the oldest profession.
Yeah, yes.
It's an expression about that.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whole belief systems were built around it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
True. Like, I'm going
there were,
to, I'm
like,
go
people
to the
could get a job as the temple prostitute. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think I go, Andrew. Go.
I was just gonna say they even like, it was very normal for them to like have boys dressed up as girls,
mm-hmm.
and
well, Nero
used, like it was a very like everything that we're dealing with right now, that's like in mm-hmm. our face,
yeah.
happened already.
Yeah,
nothing
it's
new.
Not
under
new.
The sun.
Yeah.
So what you asked was, what does this look like today? One thing I would say, a new living translation, NLT would be. It is better to go through life with a dumb phone than to keep your iPhone and walk yourself to hell.
There's also
or put an app on there that lets your wife and your three closest friends know anytime you get on a website. You know, do something drastic.
Right. And
be embarrassed.
Right. And I would
be
also
okay
say,
with being embarrassed.
I also want to say, like, the answer isn't just guardrails. The answer has to be a change of effect.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I think the biggest problem with lust is, like, it's a worship problem. And so we're worshiping self, we're worshiping our own desires. And so we can put all of the guardrails up we want, but if we're not seeing Christ as the answer to the hole in our heart or the answer to our loneliness or the answer to our desire, if we can't get there, it doesn't matter how many different ways we put up barriers and guard walls, because the only thing we're better at than anything else is defining a way around anything. I mean, we're a persistent people. To quote Jeff Goldblum from Jurassic Park, life finds a way. People are always finding ways to get around stuff. I mean,
rats in a maze.
I was in New York City for 1 week last year, and I saw so many people find a way to get in without having to pay at the subway. I mean, like, people are just a resilient people. They figure it out. And so we want heart change, and that's, I think, the point of this is it's more serious than you think, because it starts sooner than you think.
Yeah.
It's not when you commit the act, it's when you think about the act. And then Jesus says, it is far better for you to walk in limp, lame, and without sight than it would be to keep all of your faculties and march yourself to hell. I mean, that's,
right.
I think that speaks to how hard the fight is.
Oh, yeah.
Too. It's not easy, and it's not fun, and it's not going to get any easier.
No.
No. It's going to be more in our face. It's going
to
be more.
Get easier to get to.
Oh, absolutely.
More and more.
I mean, it's not even hard to get to.
It's not at this point.
Though, thankfully, I mean, they are putting laws into place.
Some states are doing that. I saw that. That's a really big deal.
Which is a great thing. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It was a huge conversation at work recently. Like, I can't believe they're doing this.
Actual age verification thing.
Yeah, you have to put your ID in.
Yeah.
And I'm just like people are upset about it. I'm like, no, that's great. Are you kidding me?
And that's just for Pornhub, right?
It's just Pornhub.
Okay. There's other websites. So it's just the obvious one.
I understand. It is, but they're trying to expand it to every website.
I mean,
but. Yeah, you're right.
I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer.
Policies are not the answer.
Yeah.
Policies are not the answer.
Heart change is the answer, but I mean,
it's about as good a step as the government can do, but it's not enough.
It's just an acknowledgement of, hey, this is destroying a generation.
Yeah. Right.
It has destroyed generations already.
We
need to do something about this.
That parents see that and they're like, oh, that means we're not doing enough.
Yeah, the government has to come in and do your job.
I think as listening to everybody, this is a relationship issue with God and with one another, with people of the opposite sex, right?
Usually,
because,
not always.
I know we struggle with this. I know we struggle with the screen stuff, and how do we deal with that with our kids? Because it can't be just don't look at your screen or don't, it's got to be something else. So and maybe the put off, put on kind of thing. I'd never thought about that before, but maybe we should help our kids have some way to interact positively with their peers, because that's the real exercise, isn't it? How do I go up to a young lady and say, or for in my case, maybe an older woman, and say, you know, and enter into a conversation with her as opposed to standing off in a corner and thinking bad thoughts, you know.
Let me get that Snapchat.
Yeah.
I mean.
Talk to me on the phone.
You know, teach kids how to interact with one another. I mean, one of our biggest fears is rejection.
Oh, absolutely.
And everybody wants to be loved, you know, and so we kind of find these substitutes, if you will, instead of stepping into the process. And I don't have any answers. I'm just kind of throwing some stuff out there.
Yeah.
It's like somewhere we forgot how to do platonicity, I guess, platonic relationships, just to like not see somebody as like, what's my potential relationship with this person? Instead of just being like, hi, I'm just interacting with somebody else who's alive in front of me right now, and not think about like
anything.
It makes me think of The Sims. It makes me think of The Sims. Like, what kind of relationship would this be?
We've made relationships transactional, so that down the road, when I'm not getting the payoff, I want to go someplace else.
No,
that's really.
And so, how do we make it relational? And lay down what, you know, my payoff.
Yeah. I mean, thinking back to like when Andrew and I were in youth group together, like our whole group that we hung out with was guys and girls. I don't know. Was anyone even dating?
Occasionally.
Not very often, though.
But not a lot.
Yeah.
There was a lot of just hanging out.
And I think that was vital to a lot of people's lives because we were just guys and girls hanging out. And just having fun, playing video games, playing board games. Like, we were just hanging out. Went and got ice cream at Dairy Queen when Andrew was working.
It survived that for a few years, and then eventually
people
start dating. And then
eventually,
we had the platonic first. And then we had a mission trip where they had to do a guy van and girl van.
That's true.
But that was later on down the road. But we had a few years where that wasn't an issue.
Right.
And
yeah, you know, when you listening to that conversation, you know, when I was younger, this idea of boyfriend, girlfriend, we grew up through grade school never thinking or talking about this, hit middle school, and it kind of, you know, it was there a little bit. But now you hear third graders saying, hey, I got a boyfriend. Like, oh, what?
No,
what?
You don't.
It's like, no, you don't.
No, right? You don't.
Even a middle schooler. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
My daughter, who is in seventh grade, was talking about her friend. She just got done doing a musical, and there was so much drama because this girl and this boy broke up, and they were in the musical together, and there was so much drama during practice and during the performance and then during the cast party. And I was just like, dude, you're in seventh grade. Like, are you talking about?
Part of this problem is Hollywood.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. The shows that kids that are aimed at that demographic are all shows where if it stars a girl, then it's about a boy. If it's stars a boy, it's about a girl that they're stressed out about in junior high or middle school or whatever. And kids watch that and they're like, oh, okay, this is normal behavior. So I need to be thinking about relationships in this way too. And it just keeps getting younger and younger.
Yeah.
And it's treated as serious. I mean, these kids are talking like they're married. it's just kind of scary to listen to them talk. Yeah.
It comes down to an acceptance thing. Mm. Like, if I don't have a girlfriend, then
I'm weird. There's something wrong with me.
Yeah. I'm the odd man out. Right.
Dude, my daughter's the weird one. She's the one who's not wanting to date anyone and sends people Vilaverses. Like, literally making fun of her at the cast party because she's the one who is sending people Bible verses. And I'm like, you know what? If that makes you the weird one, good for you.
I think there might be a scripture that says something about that.
And when one of those kids has like an actual like crisis in their life, who are they going to come to?
They already do.
Yeah, exactly.
They already do.
Layla's the real person in their life right now.
I love that girl. I love that girl so much. She's great.
You know, where do we find our self-worth? I mean, that was another thing you just said that got me thinking. Another aspect of this is, again, if we're talking more about relationships, especially younger kids, you know, we're thinking about my self-worth is wrapped up in a significant other. And that can start at a young age when you're in elementary school, middle school, you start talking about boyfriends and girlfriends. High school, you get a long-term boyfriend or girlfriend. You make some decisions there that you regret when you're later on. You get into college and you quote unquote play the field because you never really, you never feel like you're enough by yourself. And then you get married and then you expect your spouse to be giving you and filling all of these holes that you have.
Yeah.
And you have a whole lifetime of not doing any of this right because it's a lifetime not spent focusing on Christ. It's a lifetime not spent on saying, look, the overreaction is Jesus is my boyfriend. And yes, obviously that's ridiculous. Like that's not the
point.
Oh,
there was a whole movement of that.
I know. And that's, so you think, I don't want that. So what's the answer? Throw him to the wolves? No, you got to find the right way, which is regardless of your status with the opposite sex, your true joy, your true contentment comes through Christ alone, which then gets you through middle school. It gets you through high school. It gets you through college. And guess what, boys and girls? It gets you through your marriage because guess what? Marriage isn't the golden ticket to joy and happiness all the time.
Nope.
It's two sinners living incredibly close together and doing sinful things to and around each other all day. And then you have kids, and then you have a powder keg where it's like, oh, hey, surprise.
You have to do so much forgiving and so much asking to be forgiven.
And there's so much grace that has to be given, which is I am so bad at.
So, yeah, the Hollywood, you call it whatever you want, but at the end of the day, the answer is a misplaced understanding of where my value comes from and where my joy comes from. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think of in, I think it's Jeremiah 2, where it talks about broken cisterns that can hold no water. Like, you have to know what houses the right stuff. Oftentimes I talk about it with people when they have jobs that are frustrating. I say, your job can never fulfill you because there are no fulfilling jobs. There's only a fulfilling savior. It's also true about spouses and relationships. There are no fulfilling relationships. And that doesn't mean that your relationship with your wife or your husband is not fulfilling. It is. It's gratifying. It's good. It's a gift. It's the best kind of relationship you can have. But your ultimate satisfaction is found in Christ alone. And you can't find that true joy, that true contentment, that true happiness apart from that. And that's the message that we want kids to get.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I want you to get married. I want my sons and my daughters to get married. I want them to get married to vibrant Christian young men and women. And I want them to grow up and raise godly children. I want all of that for them. I love my life. I love the way my life has worked out. And I want that for my kids. But at the end of the day, if they don't ever get married, it doesn't change their status with the Lord. They're not getting gypped out of anything.
No, I mean,
it's going to be what it's going
to
be.
I mean, Paul says it's better to not be married than to be married.
Well, Paul, what does Paul know?
I mean, a few things. So should we go into what Paul knows?
All of the stuff.
Yeah.
So that's something to think about.
I don't even know how to define it because you have this fine line between the that thing that draws us to someone else and then lust. So because it seems like it's built within us. I mean, even Adam, you know, when he sees Eve, his response, when you read it, it's like da 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 da. But what really, the response is more like, wow, right? Yeah. So God has put something in us that when we look at someone.
And Adam did reach up to give God a high five.
Wow.
Yes.
Way better than all the animals you sent my way.
Yes.
Way better. Total upgrade. Total upgrade. 100.
So there is that peace within us, but how do we deal with that? How do we move forward with that without taking it out of context and distorting it into something that it's not supposed to be? Mm-hmm. And you know, I think maybe, I don't know, is that the kind of conversation that we need to have with our kids as they grow up at some time? You know, I mean, we talk about it in a different light, but I'm saying, what if it was more about this is in you? Be aware.
Yeah. I think it was Matt Chandler did a sermon series on, I think, Song of Solomon once. He said, we tell kids growing up that sex is gross, terrible, awful, disgusting, and save it for the one you love. And so you're right. Like we have to take back the discussion. The distortion that will run rampant around you is a distortion of what is a good thing.
Like, you know, people like overcorrected from, yes, abstinence until marriage is good. Don't abstain from talking about it.
Yeah,
I think is the overcorrect. Like, yeah, it's an uncomfortable topic, and so people, I think, a lot of times copped out, and they're like, I'm not going to talk to my kids about that because I don't want to put any thoughts in their head. It's like, no, you're basically just removing the training wheels and letting them roll on their own. Don't do that.
I don't want to do it. My parents didn't have that conversation, and it was awful, and I wish they would have, because then my life probably would have turned out a bit different. I've if I don't have that conversation with my kids, they're going to end up like me, and I don't want that.
There's a whole Broadway musical that, like, it's secular in nature, and it was definitely not written from our point of view, but it hits the same thing. It's called Spring Awakening, and it's about
kids. They're going to say Hamilton. I was like,
No. It's about like a generation of children that were not spoken to about that at all.
And that's a pretty brutal.
Yeah, it's intense and it's very inappropriate. I'm not saying watch it. I'm just saying like it.
You can't even edit that to make it watchable.
Yeah, no. It would be like doing The Sopranos on AMC. It's like 4 minutes long.
I watched the whole first season this half hour.
Yeah, but they, basically it's these kids figuring it out for themselves.
Yeah.
Because no one ever talked to him about it. And so it's like, I think the people that wrote the show were trying to say, look how beautiful this can be if kids aren't affected by our societal, you know, oppression on those feelings and they just get to do them on their own. And but like if you come at this from a godly or Christian perspective, you're like, oh, my gosh, they're doing so much.
It was bad.
And it's bad, bad, bad.
Don't watch it.
Yeah, don't watch it. I'm just saying, like, it exists, and it's glorified in that show.
Right.
But it does still, I think, speak a truth, and that truth is that if you don't prepare your children, if you don't talk to them about this uncomfortable thing, you're not just, like, letting them loose. You're removing the tracks.
Yeah.
And that train's just going off, and it's just going to crash.
As I sit around this table, four of the five of us grew up at a time we were probably relatively young or maybe coming of age when the internet really became where you would go for this type of thing. And I'm not a sociologist. I don't understand how trends work. I don't understand how people work really. Other than the fact that I know they're sinners, but like, it's interesting to me to see that like we all grew up with it and it seems like we're pretty dogmatic about wanting our kids to have better. I don't understand why that doesn't translate across the spectrum. Like, and again, maybe that's just unbelievers being unbelievers, but if people were to think logically and think, okay, this is how my life turned out while looking at all this junk and pursuing all this junk as I was coming of age. And then it's almost like we're treating this sin like we treat underage drinking in small towns. It's like, that's just a rite of passage. It's what you do, you know, on a Friday night after a football game, everybody goes to a cornfield and gets lit. I mean, that's just what we do in this town. It doesn't matter if it's illegal or bad for them or whatever. It seems like this is moving into that space. So there's going to be no relenting. And parents, to your point, Andrew, if they don't talk about it, the world will give them all the answers they need and they will none of them be good.
Right.
The only thing lust promotes taking away. It doesn't promote love gives. But lust doesn't, it just takes.
Right.
It just takes away. So it's like that. I had that quote, love does not take that which is not offered. But lust takes what it wants, regardless of the other's needs or desires.
So some older Bible versions, English speak Bible versions, like the New American Standard, they will say, like, they will use the word lust instead of desire.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, for example, to say your sinful desires in, like, an ESV, it'll say those are your, you know, lusts in older versions of the Bible. And I think that's also instructive because when we talk about this sin, and really when we talk about any sin, and when we talk about the seven deadly sins, is that John Owen said it right. Like, you either have to kill all sin or you're killing no sin. And so if you're just going to say, I'm going to be dogmatic for the next 6 months about the sin of lust, well, guess what?
Something else will come
something,
in.
Yeah.
It's well, not going
to guess what? Now you're going to get prideful because you're
okay.
Yeah. Lust.
If you say, I'm going to just work on this, I'm like, well, then whose effort is it?
Right.
It's your own.
What a great point.
You know, we can't do it on our own. That's right. I think Matt Chandler, he said recently, he's like, we always pray to God to like take this away. He's like, but what if he's just waiting for us to say, here, you take it, like, give it to him.
Yeah.
Instead of just trying it on your own.
Yeah.
Because if you just say, God, take it, that means you're trying to do something to get him to take it. But
we're
just
kind of like the
it.
Dog that wants you to throw the ball, but don't take the ball. don't take my ball, but please throw it.
It's like, well, that's us.
It does come down to a trust issue. Mm-hmm. Do I trust God in this area of my life? Mm. So can I say no to this desire, this thing in my life? And allow God the opportunity, and to see what he'll do with it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's like any of these sins. Are we trusting God to take it from, like, to take it? Are we going to give those, like when we talked about greed the last time? I don't, like, I have a hard time trusting with my money, right? Mm-hmm. Like, God, it's not going to be there if I let go of, like, the paranoia, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to lust, it's like, God, I've attached myself to this thing because it makes me feel something that I'm not getting somewhere else in my life. Even though this is like bottom of the barrel, right? Like if we categorize all sins at the bottom, but this just feels really scummy, right?
Well, that's just because there's so much that...
There are some sins that have more real-world consequences than others.
Yeah, there's earthly consequences. I mean, obviously, all sin in the eyes of the Lord is all the same, but there are earthly consequences mm-hmm. that are far... I mean, murder has a different consequence than pride.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It starts, but murder starts at pride.
Oh, everything gosh.
Starts in the heart, that's true.
Yes, but you don't get sentenced for life imprisonment for being proud.
And in these, in these Bible verses we read, that the impact of lust is far greater physically and directly to our life than any other sin.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's the one sin that'll just take us down.
Mm-hmm. It's so what 1 Corinthians 7 where it says, every other sin is outside of the body, but this sin is, yeah, it's the end of 7. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the living God with whom you have... You've been bought with a price, right? So that's right after that text that we talked about fleeing sexual immorality. Mm-hmm. It's the end of 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I'm not going to read it, mostly because I can't find it. But, I mean, I'm happy to read you Bible verses. But yeah, I think the other thing I wanted to say about that was, so John, you, what you said and what Matt Chandler said, what everybody's saying is really what, so I'm reading through slowly John Owen's book on mortification of sin, which the two things I've gotten from it so far is you either need to kill all sin or it doesn't matter. You can't just pick and choose which ones you want to fight and let the other ones run free. You gotta kill them all. And then two, you cannot kill sin on your own. Mm. You cannot. And I think that was maybe the point we were getting at earlier when we talked about putting up guardrails. We talked about using apps and websites and blockers. Those are all good, practical, discerning things. But we cannot fight sin apart from the power of the Spirit. It does not happen. It doesn't exist. You know, even in our sanctification, we cannot earn our sin. We don't earn our sanctification by works. Like we don't earn our salvation. Mm. So we rely on the Holy Spirit to empower us to do the things that we are commanded to do. So there's no switch that flips between being saved and being sanctified. Yes, we are involved in our sanctification. There are physical things we will do. There will be sins to put off, sins to fight. But the power, the engine that runs sanctification is the same engine that runs justification. It's the Holy Spirit. So we can't say, okay, God, I'm going to fight this sin to the death because I want you to be proud of me. No, God, come with me. Give me the strength that I need. Fill my heart with the Spirit that I might fight these sins, because then you will get the glory and I will not be prideful, because I will say I had to rely completely on you in this, God, because apart from you, I can do nothing and I could not ever fight these difficult sins if you didn't move in my heart. And so that's the good news of all of this, is like you're not fighting alone. Even if you feel like you're alone, you're not alone. You're not even fighting on your own. You have the power of the Spirit to walk with you.
Which I think is actually a huge point that needs to be maybe more focused on, because in this fighting through lust, it feels like you are alone. Mm-hmm. The reason you're lusting is because you feel alone.
Right.
And so you're not going to fight in the first place, and so you feel like you shouldn't fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you just try and change that perspective, if you ask the Lord, just change this perspective, and then you can go into the fight with him, and then you have the biggest fighter for you. Mm-hmm. He's going to do this better than you ever could even imagine. I love that point, Brad. Thank you.
What if, you know, like, be the bigger man, walk away from the fight? What if that's kind of where we need to go? In other words, if I'm fighting with this, then I'm engaging with this. What if I just lay it down altogether?
I mean, the biblical command is to flee from it, not to fight it.
Yeah, lay it down altogether. In other words, whatever it is, just lay it 100% down. I don't see any other way to get away from it.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I don't think I can. You know, there's when Lot was being rescued, right? And they said go to the wilderness. The angels say go to the wilderness, right? And Lot's like, oh, that's too dangerous. I don't want to go there. You see that little town over there? It's almost funny to read when you read it. It's like it's a really little town. I mean, it's just like a really, really small town. Can I go to that really, really little town? And the angels are like, fine.
Yeah. Just don't turn around.
Don't turn around. But you know, when he gets there, it's too dangerous. Yeah. And he has to leave. Guess what? He ends up in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Right? Where he was told to go in the first place. But my point being is sometimes that's the way we deal with sin, especially lust. It's just a peek. It's just a little. I'm just going to keep this little piece. Mm-hmm. And I think it needs to be 100%.
Mm. Yeah.
Which, yeah.
Very discerning. And I think what you're saying and what you said about fleeing and cutting off your hand, like there's no quarter. Like if you take a piece, if you keep a little speck, we keep a little bit of it. That's not cutting off your hand. That's not fleeing. That's staying. That's lingering. Lingering. Was that what was said about David when he looked at Bathsheba, that he lingered? Mm-hmm. Right? Like he took that second glance. It wasn't the first glance that got him. It was that second one. I was like,
because that's the rule. First look isn't sin, but the second one.
The second one. Yeah. First one's for free. The second one will cost you your soul, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it's the second thought.
Yeah. It's
like, what if?
Yeah.
I hope this isn't too far off. But in Proverbs, there's a little story. It's about a man looking through the lattice of the window, and he sees a young group of men that lack discernment across the street. And one in particular was walking by the unfaithful woman's house, right? And she comes out and she says, oh, I was coming out to look for you, and here you are, right? He doesn't realize. He thinks it's an event that he's going to go in. He's just hit the jackpot, but he doesn't realize it's like he's like a bull with a ring in his nose, and he's going to his death.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Drags him in.
I think that's pretty still spot on.
Yeah, I think that's right on the mark.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we're at 2 Samuel. Andrew, you're my reader. Read it up.
But Amnon wouldn't listen to her, and since he was stronger than she was, he raped her. Then suddenly Amnon's love turned to hate, and he hated her even more than he had loved her. Get out of here, he snarled at her. No, no, Tamar cried. Sending me away now is worse than what you've already done to me. But Amnon wouldn't listen to her. He shouted for his servant and demanded, throw this woman out and lock the door behind her.
And so love does not take which is not offered. And lust takes what it wants regardless of the other's needs and desires. So simple explanation for 2 Samuel 3:14 through 17. Amnon, one of King David's sons, rapes his half-sister Tamar. And after the assault, Amnon's feelings change from love to hate. And when Tamar pleads with him not to cast her out, he refuses to listen and has her thrown out instead. So the key takeaway in this story shows that there's devastating consequences of unchecked desire, and the importance of treating others with respect and compassion. Like, this is what we see when lust or any kind of unchecked desire is unchecked.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in this story, what we don't have, and what we didn't read here was the lead up to this, this particular story.
Like, he had a yearning and a disturbing just desire for his
instead of putting it away, right? Instead of running from it, instead of putting it away, he let it fester.
He entertained the thought.
Yes. And he just wouldn't let it go.
Right.
Yes.
You know. And this is where it led. Mm-hmm.
And then he showed himself to be a sociopath because he felt guilty afterwards and decided to hate her about that.
Because that was her fault.
It was her fault, right? And so and that does happen, right?
I was
like, I just moved my finger.
I don't know.
Didn't do anything.
Brett, this happens, right?
And like, I'm just moving my finger. But it's like.
It makes me think about, like, how do I want to say this? Like, as a species, I think that, like, the human race is becoming like more sociopathic as well. Like we're losing touch with emotion and with the ability to consider other people as people.
Yeah. We've lost touch with reality.
Yeah, and I think that that's leaving a vacuum that things like porn and everything else fill in. Mm-hmm. Is that we're getting just, or maybe it works the other way around, and maybe the porn pushes it out.
We're together face to face, we're still very normal people. I think the problem is so much of our life happens not face to face anymore.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's so true.
I mean, yeah. I told a story before, but there was a guy that I trained when I worked at a company. He was based in Sioux Falls, and he had this customer who was so mad at him. He's like, I'm going to go into there and talk to him. I go, why are you going to go in? They're so mad at you. He goes, people are never as mean face to face as they are by phone or email. Mm-hmm. And I think it's true about social media. It's true about everything. Is you could tell, you know, we used to call him in sales this telephone tough guy. It's a guy that you'd call him, he'd be a real dweeb on the phone, but like you'd see him face to face, he's like, buddy, buddy. And I think that's just human nature. Like if there's no skin in the game, there's no reason to do anything. But like if I'm going to see you tomorrow, how I treat you today matters.
Mm-hmm. I did that all the time when it came to calling any help desk person.
You went full Karen?
Oh, I was a Karen hardcore. I didn't see them as a human. I saw them as just somebody that needed to hear my complaint. And that's nowhere near what we're talking about here, obviously. But still, like, I'm not viewing this person as a human, mm-hmm. because they're just answering my phone call and I need them to fix my problem that was probably my fault. But... Andrew shaking his head. He's.
I was there for a few of those phone calls.
Yeah,
I was scared.
I've been massively convicted. I don't talk to people like that anymore. At least help desk people.
Just family.
just my dad.
I think it's a good point. So what we're saying is, no one's above this kind of behavior. Mm, it can happen even just through a social media exchange or whatever. Mm-hmm. But unchecked, to Brandon's point, it can lead to what happened here with Tamar is unchecked desire, unchecked anything can lead to really, really bad places. Mm-hmm. And it's already in us. I mean, again, the phone call, the email, the whatever, where you go full intensity. Yeah. It's easy to get there.
It's not hard.
No.
At all.
Yeah. Well, I think unchecked desire, like we said before, we see it culturally and we see it globally. When they talk about there not being slavery anymore, it's a lie. Like, there's more slavery today than there ever has been in the history of the world.
Yes, statistics prove that slavery is worse now than it has been in all of history.
It's just not out in the open.
And it's hidden easily because the dark web and the deep web are very, very easy to get to for people that know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. I think, and that's why we see, like, it's sad. It's sad because I think because of the political ramifications that certain parties use to scare you into realizing like why we should shut our borders, blah, 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 blah. Like it's almost like they downplay the actual really dark problem of the trafficking world. I mean, because no one talks about it anymore. Like for a while there, when it was ramping up and the borders wide open, blah blah blah, no one was reporting on like the drugged out kids that were getting dragged over the border because of a drug cartel selling these innocent lives for money, for greed. That's why I think, like, hot take, the LGBTQ movement is so, like, hideous. It's because it totally degrades and totally throws what God made beautiful out for my own lust and my own carnal desire.
Correct.
To do whatever I want with my body. Correct. And it's disgusting. And it's evil.
I think it opens a gateway to, if I can do anything I want with my body,
I can do whatever I want with your body.
Is anyone else's body off top or off limits? Mm-hmm. Or maybe not. Right. I was thinking about the fact that, like, not even like 5-6 years ago, it was even in like major news outlets a big story that, hey, Super Bowl, it's the biggest trafficking mm-hmm. weekend of the year. In whatever city it's going to happen in, because all the cops are distracted. They're all busy doing security. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I heard about that once last week.
Not for 2 years.
for two years. Yeah,
it's been 2 years since anyone's even thought about talking about it. Hasn't hit any major news outlet at all. And granted,
I don't think we solved the problem 2 years ago. I think it's no.
And I mean, maybe it's because they wanted them to keep it quiet because there are huge raids that happened during that week. Like, there are massive raids that the FBI...
That would be cool if that's why we didn't hear about it, is because they're actually trying to keep... Yeah.
I mean, if that's what it is, that's amazing.
Neat.
But I don't feel like that's the
answer. I don't think it is either, yeah.
I think...
Those raids are the tip of the iceberg.
Oh yeah. And they're nowhere near...
They're not getting anybody high up in those programs at all.
They're not
street level stuff.
They're not in the country. They're not here.
Yeah.
No.
They're in extraditionary. That one.
Is that right?
Those kind of countries. Yeah, you can't extradite them to the United States.
Yeah.
Also,
not everyone's called to be able to, like, be a part of these things or give to these things. But I think it's good to be aware of how, like, just how bad sin is and what it can lead to. Like don't be paranoid that your kid or a family member is going to become one of these things. It's not likely, right? And I'm not saying it won't. I'm not trying to like push that on you and be like, you better watch out. Your weird kid's going to start. Like, it's not that.
That's not even necessarily true because there was a ring in Sioux City.
Yeah.
That got caught not, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Run by doctors in Sioux City.
Oh, I know. I remember some of them.
Yeah.
You just need to be aware of how, like, protect your kids and teach them the right things. Yeah. You know, like,
and pray. You know, I mean, prayer is effectual.
Yeah,
we can pray for the end.
I just get so like, when we talk about the Super Bowl, I think is we get so desensitized by our entertainment, or we get like movies like the Taken movies, where it kind of glamorizes that kind of like, I'm gonna go and find these people, and like, it's a lot harder than you think.
I remember a headline, one dude did that.
Yeah.
He got arrested for killing the guy that sold his daughter into it, like, for a little bit. I think that they were pretty lenient on him.
They did release him. Yeah.
Which is, I'm fine with that.
I mean, there's that entire organization that, like, has their undercover people that go into those realms. I can't remember what they are, but they have an entire... No, there's like a documentary.
It's like they buy kids back and then run off with them. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like they like break up the cells, and I can't remember what it's called, but it's crazy, and it's so hard for them to do. It's not Liam Neeson running and killing a bunch of people.
It's so difficult.
It's a huge...
It takes a long time.
Yeah.
It doesn't just happen overnight.
Right.
You know, and like I said, this topic, like, trafficking alone is its own episode. But just to know that if we're not trusting God, like, this could happen. Like, if we let our sin run rampant in our lives and we're not killing our sin, like John Owen would say, like, we are going to be leading a life of pain.
Yeah.
Because sin destroys us. Mentally, to our soul, and and physically, like lust, lust, unguarded can just. I mean, I've had some stories with like my counselor about that and how he leads the sex addiction like group. Through their therapy, and he's like every sin is evil, he's like, there's something about this that is far greater than I would have thought. And he's like, because one thing can lead to something even darker, and
snowballs real bad, real fast,
because then you get tired of that. That's not giving you the stimulant you want,
never fulfills you, so you go to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, and
we're at now where we're just roam out in the open. It was on the internet for a long time and you never saw it, but now it's just out in the open.
Yeah, you used to have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just free all over the place.
Yeah. And so with that gloomy note, how do we I look back at what we talked about earlier and it's flee, run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Run away.
Yeah, I think Brett said it best earlier. I think we were, I don't know if you guys heard this because we said it kind of off mic, but it starts internally. It has to. It's your personal issue. All of these human trafficking and sex trafficking things, yes, are an issue. But if it's you, it has to start with you internally, mm-hmm. and with the Lord. And if we can all change, human trafficking and sex trafficking doesn't exist.
I would say, along with flee, also do it the right way. Mm-hmm. I think is a. I don't know if we've really talked about that yet this episode too much, but you know, follow the steps the way the Bible says. Flee from it. Don't act on it until you're married, and then when you're married, don't ignore it. Don't try to abstain from it. I know, like, you know, they talk about like couples that we're gonna shove the beds together tonight, you know, or something like that. Like,
the '50s, yeah.
Don't, you know, buy that queen mattress, buy that king mattress. You know, sleep in the same bed. Don't. I'm trying to say this without getting gross, but like,
we want to keep watching you struggle through it.
Yeah,
I'll cut all of this out.
Have a healthy sex life with your spouse.
That's healthy. And it's a good thing to say.
Yeah.
The fact that you feel like you can't say that is part of the problem.
Yeah. It's just so awkward, and it shouldn't be that awkward. It should be, I mean, don't talk about your sex life with your friends. That's a whole.
Have some decorum.
Yes, please. Yeah. But don't think that it's weird to pursue that with your spouse and to enjoy it. God made this a good thing for us to enjoy. Just like anything else. Like, I know we talked about how food is a good thing on another episode, and how it's God made it delicious and amazing so that we could enjoy it because he loves us and he wants to bless us with that.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with sex.
Yeah.
There is a good way to do it. And we should not flee from the good way. Be enthusiastic about it. Be excited about it. Just do it right. Do it the way that the Bible lays it out.
Yeah.
And I think that's... So, yes, flee from temptation. And then the only positive move we make, the only forward move we should make, is to do it the way that the scripture says.
I agree with that 100%.
Yep. Nice to bring some like good stuff into this. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay. All right. Let's wrap it up. I haven't told any of you this yet, but I did make all of our socials this week.
Hey.
So by the time this drops, actually by the time our greed episode drops, obviously we didn't say it then, but all of our socials are available. I'm going to post them down below. Also, not to go against what Brett said, but I feel this, I don't know if it's conviction, but I am going to link a dumb phone. I'm going to link some apps if you need help. With lust, there's a couple.
I'm pro that, by the way.
It's okay, good.
Still
okay,
good
okay.
To do it.
Pro all of those things.
They're just the placeholder. They're not going to be as effective as God.
Yeah,
but
no, yes. Still okay. Pro all those things.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah, I didn't want to like say that.
I have one on my phone. I mean, we all.
Yeah. I mean, we've
all good.
We've got one, so it's fine.
I've got a light phone.
Yep.
Yeah.
Brandon's got a dumb phone.
I've got protections on my iPhone.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Those are all good things.
So I'm going to, I'll link those and also link our socials. It's going to be a lot of links on this episode. So
click them all, baby.
Click it all. We appreciate all of you listening. I've noticed because I look at all the numbers, there's been a surge in people listening. So if you're new here, welcome. We're going to be posting.
Sometimes it's lighter than this.
Yeah. We will be. Well, we already made them because Brandon really wanted to do a Q&A. I think there was a reason for that. All these new people that
I didn't
within the last 3 days
sure.
Have come up. So I'll post those Q&As here soon. And
in the comments, let us know how you found us because
how?
How'd you do that?
Who are you?
Where'd you get us from?
Tell us your name.
Is one of you Officer Rodriguez that pulled me over a month ago? Because I told you about the show. And if you found us, shout out to like the nicest interaction I've ever had with someone
Officer
after getting
pulled Rodriguez.
Over.
Oh, that's awesome.
You were super nice and very, very kind to me. And I was very tired and just driving 10 over. And you let me off with the warning. And I appreciate you.
Brandon Woodall loves to interview people. So we will interview you.
Yeah.
Yes. You know
I've got one coming up. So.
Who?
With my buddy Lucas Sullivan.
Oh, nice.
Wonderful.
Nice.
Bald boy.
bald boy?
He's got no hair anymore.
Oh, I haven't seen Lucas in a while, apparently. Okay.
Speaking of, I'm thinking about a mohawk.
Okay. Brandon, wrap it up.
Well, this has been Outsiders Podcast. Follow us on all of our socials. Give us some coffee. You can check out our Patreon. Whatever other links we have. Like, hopefully.
Like Exiles, there's down there.
There's down there. I got
also, I found a way on Spotify to say that like we support this show. So, Elect Exiles, just go click on that.
Oh. There we go. And then, what else?
I don't know.
I got to give you my Substack.
You need to give me your Substack. You still
I thought I sent it. Well,
yeah, you didn't.
I'm pretty slow about these kind of things. I post twice a week over there. So,
yeah, go read Brandon's stuff.
A lot of it's minimalism. That's the only, like, minimalism is the only thing that really, like, catches steam. I start talking about the Bible and we're like, oh, okay. Well, what about this?
You gotta keep
about decluttering?
Oh, yeah. Like Marie Kondo action.
This Bible does spark joy.
Heads up, it does.
Yes. So, cool. This has been Outsiders Podcast. We will see you next week.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. I thought someone was going to say something.
Can you please say it?
Thanks for listening. We love you. Bye.
Thank you.
Unlock big savings while adding style and security to your home with Schlage door locks from Menards. High-quality Schlage Wi-Fi compatible entry locks allow you to lock and unlock your home from anywhere with your phone. Get peace of mind and save big money on all door locks at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save.